Hi, my name is Rick Bloodworth. This is the Common Sense Christian Channel, and today we want to talk about encouragement. In Proverbs 17:22, it says, "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." Well, when we think about what we are capable of doing as far as our influence, one of the things I'm convinced that we really need to focus on is the fact that we have the power within us just by our words and our conduct and our actions, our interactions with other people, to either help them to have a good day and maybe even a good life, or to crush their day and maybe even influence a life that is something less than God hopes for them. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries the bones. I've had the privilege of coaching youth basketball for several decades. I've been out of it for a few years now, but I started off with fifth grade boys, and I think I had about five teams at once. And boys at that stage in fifth grade, they're in training for junior high, and that was certainly a bit of a challenge. But I found out very quickly that if I had words of encouragement for them, that was far more effective, and the results were much quicker than just by hollering at them or just continually getting after them for mistakes that they may have made. Well, after that, I coached boys for a little bit, but then when my first daughter got to third grade, I started coaching the third and fourth grade basketball teams for the girls, and I really enjoyed that. Girls are just sweeter, for one thing, and they're certainly much more eager to try and please when they are doing anything, and so I really enjoyed that. But one of the things that I came across early on was probably a third grade girl who just never smiled. She came into the basketball league, and she had kind of a different demeanor about her. I've noticed ones like her since then, but if you spoke with any type of a raised voice or any type of a severity, she would almost recoil. You could just see her physically almost ducking and squinting and as if she was about to be struck or something. And so I learned from that little girl that there are some people whose backgrounds have been really rough, and they've been rough in part because they haven't received the encouragement that they needed. Now, when I talk about encouragement, I'm not talking about flattering people, telling them something that's not true just to try and artificially build them up. In Psalms chapter 12 and verse 2, this is what God says about those who would flatter people. He said, "Everyone lies to his neighbor. Their flattering lips speak with deception." And then David says, "May the Lord cut off all flattering lips." Well, flattery is something that's just not true. And I realize that there are times that we might be tempted to tell somebody something that's stretching the truth a little bit in an attempt to encourage them, but that's not going to do them any good. If you're not honest with people, you're going to do more harm in the long run than any help you could possibly hope to have in the short term. And so when we talk about encouragement, we're not talking about deceiving anybody with too lofty of expectations or too glowing of a picture painted for their abilities. What we're talking about with encouragement is trying to take what people have and build upon that. We're to build each other up with our words of encouragement. And so for this little girl that came in who just seemed so gun-shy and just seemed like life had just kind of beaten her down, I was very careful to try and find things for her that would encourage her, things that were truthful, but things that would build her up and allow her esteem to be properly built up. And I think we've gone way too far in trying to build up kids' self-esteem. As a matter of fact, we've gotten to the point now where we give participation ribbons and medals and trophies just for showing up. And I don't believe in that. I believe that even kids should be working hard for any extra recognition. But along that path of working hard for the extra recognition, we can certainly have encouraging words along the way. You're doing good. You're improving every day. That was a beautiful shot you took, or that was such good defense you played. Or with our own children, yeah, that C, could you have done better? Well, try and do better next time, because I think you've got the capability of doing better. Trying to stick with things that are absolutely truthful, but also things that are positive. And remember, when we talk about encouraging one another, we're talking about trying to accomplish something that is positive. God has that, by the way, all the way through the scriptures. In Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 12, he says this: "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." Well, we've all seen preachers standing up in the pulpit who think they've recognized a people who have a sinful, unbelieving heart that they want to make sure doesn't turn away from the living God. But how do they handle that? Now, there's a place for hellfire and brimstone sermons. I'm not suggesting for a moment that we keep the potential punishment of hell from people. If you flatter them by making them think that they're going to be going to heaven no matter what type of activity they have or what type of conduct they have, their conduct's just going to get worse and worse if they're inclined towards that. But having said that, while we do want to warn people from the very type of conduct that a sinful and unbelieving heart will result in, look at what he says in the verse after that. "Encourage one another as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." In the church, in our families, in our circle of friends, and just with those who we have influence over, we need to be very careful and thoughtful as to how we can encourage one another to this love and good deeds that God wants us to have. He says, "Encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that no one is hardened by sin's deceitfulness." There needs to be that daily building up of people and telling them, "You're doing good. I know this is hard, but you just keep on going in the right direction." And when they have bad conduct, make sure that it receives the due discipline that's needed, whether that discipline is something as mild as, "Well, you know, you can't do that. We need to stop doing that." Or if that discipline doesn't work, then, and especially if it's our own children, then we start ratcheting up the discipline to the best of our ability so that we can lovingly bring them back in line with what God wants us to do. But the idea behind our words is they need to be encouraging, and even our forms of discipline need to be with an encouraging direction. We want to encourage good behavior while discouraging bad behavior. Well, that requires a certain amount of thought, doesn't it? Because so many of us are just tempted to lash out with the first thing that comes to mind. And by doing so, we eventually get something like that little girl who just looked like she was about to be hit every time she received any type of a criticism. And so we need to make sure that we have something in there that builds up. If you ever want a great study in how to build people up for the right behavior, just go to Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. In that, Jesus talks to the seven churches of Asia, and within each one of them, he starts off by telling them, "You're doing good here, but you need to work on this, or you need to be cautious on this." And then at the end of it, a reminder, "But you're doing good, and if you continue to do good, there's going to be a reward." Or a reminder, "You aren't doing good, but if you repent and begin to do the things you need to, then there'll be a reward." But that type of an encouraging conversation, "You're doing good here, we can work on this here, but here's the reward if you do that." That's the type of thing people need. Whether it's encouraging a child to do a little bit better in their studies, I'm not talking about berating them and browbeating them, and I do understand that some children are particularly stubborn and will try and get away with things they shouldn't try and get away with, including playing dumb. But there can be, again, a very intentional, thoughtful process on encouraging people to do better with a system of rewards and punishments, if punishments are needed. But the idea is we want to encourage good behavior. And I don't think there's any greater encouragement than what God gives to us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 9, this is what the Apostle Paul says. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath. In other words, God didn't create us to go to hell. It's true, He created a hell, and that people are going to go there if they refuse to comply with His loving commandments. But that's not what He made us for. That's not what He created us for. He appointed us not to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation. Let me read this full text. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 9. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we too may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing. Well, in the most important part of our life, our relationship with God, we need to understand first and foremost that He created us so that we could someday be with Him eternally forever in heaven. But bad conduct will keep us from that. And so part of what God does through the Scriptures is He encourages us towards the good conduct. If you do this, this is the reward you're going to get. If you fail in this, this is the way to come back. If you refuse to come back, then here is the punishment. But again, continually through that is the encouragement. I don't want you to suffer the punishment. God gave us His only Son to die in our place for our sins. He doesn't want us to suffer the punishment. But for those who are so unloving in return, who would be so unfaithful to Him and to refuse to accept His terms of salvation, well, there is a punishment. And so we as Christians, we need to keep in mind that we can achieve heaven. I'm not going to earn it, but God has made all the arrangements for us to be there someday. That's encouraging. And we need to encourage one another with that. Yeah, you're struggling here, but you're doing good here. And this is what we all need to be doing. We need to pick each other up. We need to build each other up. Do you have to tear down at times the bad conduct? And of course you do. You want to remove bad conduct from your own life and from the lives of others. But there's a process for that, and there's a way that will actually make people want to do better, as opposed to just making people mad to where they're not going to listen to anything you say. As a matter of fact, they may do just the exact opposite of what you want them to do just out of spite because you've treated them so poorly. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus pointed out that we're the light of the world and we're to let that light shine. You can do that with your words of encouragement. What was it? He said, if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? That's probably a bad paraphrase there, but you get the point. If the light that we're supposed to be allowing to shine, Christ within us, is darkness, it's not Christ at all, but it's Satan, then that darkness is going to be terrible, and our influence is going to be terrible. And so instead of influencing people to the good with the bright light of Christ, we're going to influence them to evil with darkness. So let your light shine, but make sure that light is Jesus Christ. And again, you know how important this is. You've had people in your life who have encouraged you in ways that meant so much to you that you still recall it to this day. You have people in your life right now who have that ability just to cheer you up by being in their presence because they are such an encouragement to you. It doesn't mean that they're permissive by any stretch of the imagination towards bad behavior. In fact, it's very likely just the opposite. But they also very likely have an ability to say, you can do this. You can come out of this. You see somebody that's struggling with an addiction that just keeps trying, but they keep failing. You can encourage them. Keep on trying. You made it this far this time. You'll make it farther next with the help of God. There are people in your lives, maybe they're your children, that you can see when they're having a bad day. You may be tired, and your first inclination may be to lash out and tell them not to bother you right now. Daddy's tired, but don't do that. You don't want to encourage them to bad behavior of pestering people. I'm not saying that. But you do want to take a moment or two to remember what's truly important in life. So many of us are tired from work, but why are you working? Isn't it to provide a living so that your family can have a place to live comfortably? And so don't forget when you're going and tiring yourself out to make sure they're comfortable to fail to it. Don't forget to encourage them when you're around them, because your responsibility is to train them to be a good servant of God. That's going to make them happier, by the way. And a big part of that is just by being cheerful. A big part of encouragement is that cheerful heart that's good medicine. You've seen that before. When I was working at Kentucky Fried Chicken at a very young age, I recognized the fact that people's attitudes were very contagious. Somebody could come into the restaurant and just be in a bad mood and start slamming things around and talking to people in ways they shouldn't. And before you knew it, the whole crew was mad and slamming things around. But then you have somebody come in that's happy. And even if that doesn't please other people, what are you so happy about? If they were happy and if they continued to press on and not let other people's bad attitudes influence their attitude, after a while, their cheerful attitude would also become contagious. Their peaceful attitude would become contagious, and it would just give a different setting. Well, when I was 17 years old, I saw the ability or the impact that people can have on one another just by the way they treat them. And a boss who had encouraging words had so much more pleasant of a workplace than the one who just tried to rule with an iron fist and get things done. You have that ability just by your words, just by your demeanor, just by your attitude to build people up. And you need to do that because you know, I want to say again, how important that has been in your life. Maybe you've had a teacher when you just didn't seem to be catching on to something that the rest of the class wasn't having any problem with, who took you aside and said, well, you'll get this figured out. Maybe you were sick a day and you missed that, and they'll catch you up. A teacher like that's worth their weight in gold. Or a coach who has the ability to patiently teach you what he wants you to do and to teach you good habits. He may still make you run laps, or she may still make you do push-ups, but whatever it is, they're doing it with the overall message that they're trying to make you better so that you can do well. And when you do well, that coach, you know what it's like, will have good words for you. That's just what I wanted. Keep up the good work. You're doing great. These are the types of things that are appropriate. These are the types of encouragement that make us feel good just to be around people. And there are some people like that that made us feel so good when we were in their presence that it makes us feel good just to think about them, even when we're not around them. Encouragement is important. One of the things a lot of people seem to bristle at is the idea that they need to go and worship God somewhere. And I think they're missing the point on that. In Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 23, it says this: "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Well, I imagine all of us who have gone to church, so to speak, have been at the worship through the years, have been in situations where the preacher just seemed mad because there weren't many people there that day. And he might give those who were there a beating on behalf of the ones that weren't there and let them know how terrible it was to miss the worship. Well, it is bad to miss the worship. We're not to give up meeting together. But it's this second part, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I think a lot of preachers could learn from that if instead of berating the people who are there on behalf of those who are not, if he would just say something along the lines of, "Oh, it's so good to see you. I know you could have been doing something else. I know you could have used an excuse to not be here today, but you chose to obey God's commandment to assemble together and to come and worship him." And that type of encouragement, just it means a lot to you. And especially when people can let you know how valuable they are just to be there, so, and what an encouragement they are by being there. But I want to point out again, this passage tells us to spur one another on to love and good deeds. That's not talking about wearing spurs like you would on a horse and raking their sides mercilessly. It's talking about that gentle nudge that every horseman knows is needed from time to time in order to get the horse to respond when he needs to respond. That takes experience, doesn't it? And in dealing with people, it takes love. You have the ability to absolutely change the path of people's lives just with your words of encouragement. You can make people happy that they are there to work, or that they are there to learn, or that they are there to practice, or that they are there to worship, just by your words. But by the same token, you can make people sorry that they ever came around you, that they're sorry they're in your class, that they're sorry they ever signed up for this stupid sport, that they're sorry they ever attended this particular church because of the way they were treated and because of the terrible way it made them feel. I do want to stress the fact that bad conduct does need to have penalty. And sometimes that penalty will make people feel bad temporarily. But we need to keep in mind Christ's method of doing so. You're doing good here. You've got to work on this or there's going to be a penalty. But you can do it. And here's the reward for doing that. A positive message, a positive demeanor, a truthfully positive message is going to be something that will spur people on to heights that may be, and achievements that they may have never dreamed they could have done. You have that power within you, but it takes thought and it takes a love for your fellow man. Are you doing your best to encourage others? If so, then I believe you are performing the function that God put you here for in the first place. But we can all do better, can't we? It's something to think about, I'm convinced. And again, I want to point out, we're not talking about flattering one another, because that's just going to end up encouraging bad behavior. That's not what encouragement is meant for. But if we can truly think of the other person, their situation, what they may have been through, what it will take to get them to achieve the conduct that's so desirable for their lives, and that we can show them that this is going to be a benefit to you, not a detriment, but it's also going to be a benefit to others, then we're going to have done our part, not only in serving God in the way that we should, but in encouraging others to do the same thing. And then someday there will be heaven, the greatest encouragement of all. We've been blessed with a wonderful life. God treats us so well. If we can encourage others and help them to see God's love, it'll make all the difference. And we might find that we just absolutely change the direction of other people's lives, and one of those lives will certainly turn out to be our own when we start to encourage as we were commanded to do and as we're privileged to do. That's the lesson for today. I hope it gives you something to think about. If this helped, please like it and share it with other people. That will really get the message out. If you subscribe to the channel, that'll also get the message out to more people. And so if this helps you, please consider doing those things. But until next time, I pray that God will continue to bless you richly as you do your very best to serve Him in the way that He desires. God bless you.